away from my old ways of thinking. It's not my way, it's your way, Lord. Lord, forgive us for trying to make your will our will in a bad way. Lord, we conform to you this morning. We don't bring you down to earth. We come up to you, Lord, in worship. Lord God, you are perfect. You are holy. There is nothing that compares to you. Your ways are high above us, Lord. So we surrender to them. Father, we worship you because you gave your only begotten Son. The precious blood that we celebrate this morning in communion, we worship you, Father God, for your heart's design. Lord Jesus, your willing sacrifice, we thank you for it right now. Would you just lift your hands again and thank the Lord for his precious blood that was shed for our sins, for the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, we magnify your name. There is no other name given to us by which we're saved. There's no other sacrifice that we can claim that cleanses us from the penalty of sin and the judgment of hell. Lord Jesus, your shed blood is more than enough. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father God. Would you just bow your heads for a minute and just, would you acknowledge again your obedience to the Lord? Would you just pledge your obedience to the Lord again? Between you and Jesus right now, would you just say, Lord Jesus, I pledge my heart to you in obedience. My flesh is weak, my heart fails, but I pledge my heart to you in fresh obedience. We say yes to you, Lord. We hear the invitation to enjoy all that you've provided for. So we say yes and we take obedient steps in faith. Lord, I'm thinking right now of the things you ask me to do that I'm hesitant to do. The things that scare me because they're a stretch in my faith. But I say yes. No matter what I feel, no matter what fear comes up, you're bigger than it. And so I just say yes and amen. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Well, all this we just pray in your precious name. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can say hi to a person next to you again, but you can be seated on this beautiful Mother's Day. Kids can be dismissed to class. Worship team, thank you for worshiping on Mother's Day. Man, God is good. God is good. Oh, man. I love the Lord and I love my mom. And my mom is in Texas. She lives there with this guy that she calls my dad. and they are having a blast down there. And actually, my oldest daughter she just drove in. She's moving from California to Texas, God's country. And she is going to be living and reestablishing work down there. She's wrapping up her graduation. And then we just came back late last night, from daughter number two. She's in Tulsa, and she just finished her associates at Victory College down there, and we had a blast. It was wonderful. It's so cool when your kids are loving the Lord. They're pursuing what God's put in their hearts to do. And then we've got daughter number three is about to leave to Olivet, and it's just so cool. She's going to be going down there and pursuing a degree that's smarter than me. And so we're looking forward to that. Before I go too much further, Debbie, you got another kid you're kicking out of the nest. She's going to Minneapolis area, and she's going to be furthering her career, and she's pursuing all that God has for her. And I know that there are others in this room. As a mom, as a dad, it's a mixed feeling, isn't it? You feel proud and happy and excited. And all at the same time. It's weird how you feel that way, but the older I get, the more confused I am. And so, but I am so thankful that one of the promises is that the word of the Lord would not depart from our kids and our kids' kids. Now, it may feel like it is totally the opposite some days, but you know what? If you are walking in obedience with the Lord, you're in that covenant relationship, you have this promise, and it should shape your prayers, Mom. It should shape your prayers, Dad. No matter what you think you see with your earthly eyes, pray in faith what the Lord says over those kids. And there have been many nights where my wife and I have prayed, and there's been many seasons where it just feels overwhelming, the odds against our young ones. But there's a confidence that comes when you know you're standing on a promise of Scripture. And then you could just tell the devil he's a liar. Because he is. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Isn't that great? That just settled somebody's, you know, well, maybe there's partial. No, it's even a partial truth is a whole lie. So he twists it all. It is all lies. And I'll tell you this message today about what Mama said. What Mama said, it's important because this relationship of covenant between us and the Lord, it changes how we pray and what we stand on. And I'll tell you, it brings confidence. Who doesn't need confidence as a parent? About 9 or 10 or something like that. That's awesome. As a grandparent, isn't it nice to know you can, as your job, you're supposed to dote and give candy, let the Lord fight all the battles, right? You know, you just love them and give them a lot of sugar and make their parents pray more. You know, that's what it is. But, you know, you just love them and let the Lord fight those battles. So in honor of Mom, I was just thinking, I don't know what your mama said, but my mama tended to say all kinds of things. The most memorable things about my mama came in pentameter. How many times have I told you? Nobody knows what that is. See, it's not vogue to do that nowadays, right? My mom spoke. I don't know where she got that language from, but it seemed to coincide with this. How many times do I have to? I was like, and my answer was always, one more. No, sorry. But my mom had a gift of speaking like that, and she also had this other gift. She had autonomous pinchers. So no matter what her face was doing in church, hello, Sister Rose. She'd be like, well, hello, Sister so-and-so or whatever, because that's what we said growing up. Anybody know what I'm talking about that? You know, I grew up in that church. It was in southern area. We were in Oklahoma City. And so in that place, everybody has southern accent, you know, and they would say, good morning. She'd just smile. While she's doing this, there was a hand over here doing something else. And it was usually pinching and twisting. Because right before the good morning, Sister so-and-so, she was probably saying, you better listen to your father while he's... So this isn't going good. But I'm telling you, these are the things I remember, but I also remember other things. I remember my mom saying things that were positive affirmations over me. Benji, you are, and then she'd fill in the blanks. Now, don't get gross, because parents sometimes say, you're no good, you don't ever, and then they say all these negative things. My folks never did that to me. The way my folks did, they would say, Benjamin, that is not the way God made you. Benjamin, this is what you're supposed to be like. And they would list for me all the things I was created to be that maybe I wasn't yet. You know, and they would tell me that. This was our form of parenting and discipline in my household. Now, I don't know if you got that privilege or not, but I'll tell you what I've benefited from that. In those darkest days, as I got older, and I would feel the judgment of the Lord because of my actions, and I was questioning whether I was in a relationship with God at all, I would hear the words of my mom proclaiming over me the very scriptures I would often come across, and then I would hear the words of the Lord as if it was coming through my mom's voice. You are going to make it as long as you, and you are going to be as long as you, and I just tell you, it was such a pleasure to have parents that taught me and shaped me in that way. there's a little bit more to say. If you read through Proverbs, it's amazing how Proverbs, you know, there's, you know, 33 chapters or so, and I think there's 33 chapters, and but you can go through Proverbs and you'll hear this like theme. You know, cherish the words of your mom or your dad. Cherish the words of your parents. They're going to be like a crown. They're going to be something precious to you. And I sit there, and as an adult with kids of my own and hopefully grandkids some days, like about 50, you know, I want not just my kids to cherish the words of their mom, but I want my grandchildren to cherish the words of their parents. Because I know that those words will come back and be a blessing to them. My mom would tell me times, you know, kind of instructions in how to relate with people. Sometimes I hated this when she would say it. She'd say, that friend is no friend of yours. And she would say that often at times because I had a tendency to pick the wrong friends. And she would say, bad company corrupts good morals. That's a scripture verse. And she would say, and that friend is no good friend to you. I remember one was Maurice. He was a wonderful friend, I thought. He was about 4 years older than me, and she had a habit of not liking kids that were older than me. She would say, you have no spine when you're standing up against this cool older kid. You need to find different friends. You're not meant to be water, Ben. You're meant to be strong and stand up against peer pressure. But I didn't learn that right away. So Maurice, who was a little older than me, he said, one night we were playing football. After we were done playing football, he goes, let's go get some eggs. And so we went and got some eggs. Why? Maurice said so. And then we went down the street to an officer's house where his patrol car was parked. And he says, let's throw these at the patrol car. And I said, sounds like a good idea. And so we peppered the entire police car with the eggs that we got. And then we went back our separate ways. And as I was coming back, the garage door was open. The garage light was on. My dad was sitting in a folding chair. And he said, have fun. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, did you have fun? And I said, sure. And he goes, you know who I just got off the phone with? No. The officer down the street. He said he watched you two idiots the entire time as you covered his whole car with eggs. And mom says, I can't whoop you now, but you better go down and wash off that police car and then come back and we're going to whoop you. And I was like, but I'm 19. No, I was like, I was like 12. And so I went down and I apologized to the police officer, gave his car a good wash and didn't get paid for it, came back and got a whooping, just as mom and dad said. The point is this, the words of my mom would come back and she'd say, that's not a good friend for you. And even though I would say, well, I don't agree, I like him, I like his sense of humor, mama's words would come back and be proved true. Why? Because she was actually saying principles and things from Scripture. So mom, make sure you restate Scripture and speak it over your kids all the time. Instruct them in those things because it will help shape them as they grow into adulthood. We need it. And then not just that, like I said, keep praying the Scripture over your kids. Why? No one is going to pray for your kids like you. You need to know the Bible and you got to pray over them those words. So here's a couple scriptures. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 38. And the bridge here between what my mama would say about that friend's no friend for yours, and sometimes I wouldn't like it, but then she'd be proved right. It ties in to what Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says. In Mark 8, 38, it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words. I need to say that again. For whoever is ashamed of me. There's two different parts to this. You can be ashamed of Jesus, right? But what if you're not necessarily ashamed of Jesus? You pledge allegiance to Jesus. He's trendy. He's cool. But what if you just don't like his words? The terms of his contract agreement with you. Repent, believe, obey, enter into this. Maybe you don't like that part of it. I just like you, Jesus. I like the fact that you're good, you're cool, and all that kind of stuff. People think it's cool if I'm cool with you and all that kind of stuff. I just don't like the repent part. And I don't want to be tested and have that whole belief thing. I just don't like the pressure that is for me. And then the obey. Oh, man, that's just tough. But if you're ashamed of my words, here's what it says. In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Wow. Question that I got to ask you is, maybe you had a parent like mine, a mom like mine, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you were never embarrassed by your parents. Maybe you were never ashamed or embarrassed or had a hard time with their instructions or their words. But let's shift gears and talk about Jesus right now. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Maybe you're not. But more importantly, are you ashamed of his words? Are his words tough for you to conform to? Do you not like his words? Do you identify with his words, or do you distance yourself from the words? And it's in the context of this generation. Think of the generation we live in, folks. Is it popular to say what Jesus says? Is it popular to say even the things in the Scripture that you would say, well, man, it's pretty clear, but you can't say it clear. You have to be vague, or someone's going to be upset, right? And then if you say there's a clear black and white on an issue, just because it's in Scripture like that, boy, you are the least popular person in the world. His words seem to me as so unpopular in our generation. And because of that, boy, it really pushes us to either identify with it or kind of take a step back, doesn't it? Not too long ago, I pulled up the lieutenant governor, I want to say some southern state, and he was preaching. This big black guy was preaching, and I love it. A lieutenant governor was preaching. And he said, what was his phrase? He says, nowadays, he goes, people believe that there's multiple genders. And he was talking about gender confusion and identity. And he said, there's just man and woman. And he says, and everybody in this day and age, they like to make themselves up differently, dress up differently, so they could be made up. And then he said, they could be drugged up. They can take some hormone therapy or something, be drugged up. And then they can even be cut up. And then he said, and you know what? At the end of the day, you're just a drugged up, cut up, made up man or a woman because you can't change what God said. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I told Petrae after watching that, I'm like, whoo, everybody hates this lieutenant governor right now. Why? Because of what he just said. Now, I don't know the rest of his theology, but he didn't say anything that the Bible didn't say. You can't get through Romans 1. Without having a lot of problems with the issues of our day. But don't say anything. Be ashamed of those words. Come on, church. We've got to stand up and identify with the words of our Heavenly Father, don't we? And the reason for that is because when He comes back, think about that. The arrangement is, if you don't like my words, when I come back, you ain't going to like me either. And when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, I don't want there to be one bad thing standing between us. I don't want there to be one negative thing. I don't want there to be one ounce of me that goes, oh no, he's coming back. I want every part of me to say, yeah! You know, it's like the Spirit of God and the church have got to come into agreement and say, come, Lord Jesus, I want you to come right now. Come through those clouds. But I think most of people today are like, wait for just a little bit till we work this out. We got some differences. I need to work it out. Maybe you have some differences today, but we're going to work them out. Here's the problem with God's words, and this is why I believe that we have an issue with them sometime. Covenant, the words of God, are pretty powerful. And the words of God are solid. They will not change. No matter what times change, no matter what popularity changes, all that kind of stuff. The Word of God is a rock that is immovable. It does not change. I love what Mark 13:31 says. It says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You can see similar things in Matthew 24:35, Luke 21:33. They say all that same thing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the reality of God's words. Now, if you're like me with my parents, some of the things that they told me to do, they would say, Ben, you know, watch out for this person and that person. And if you don't listen to me, they're going to lead you into junk and you're going to get, you know, all tangled up and stuff and you're going to get in trouble. And I was like, no, we're not, you know. But that's what my mom and dad would say. And you know, if I ignored those words, they were proven right over and over again. And then, you know, they never really came back and said, I told you so, because they didn't have to. They would just smile and say, so how did you like that? Or they would say stuff like that. And I'd be like, this is horrible. And I would say, you were right. And, oh, that was so painful to say you were right. So I want to point out here, there's a unique scripture. There's a unique scripture, and I don't always go to this, but in Romans 3, verses 3 through 4, there's this point that is made that it says, if we have unbelief with the words of God, does it change the truth of His words? No. This is kind of the point. So even if I don't believe in what He says, it's still going to stay the same. It's still going to remain. You don't have to believe it. This is kind of like your response to somebody who is an atheist. They deny the existence of God. And then they say, well, I don't believe in God. That's okay. He's still real. You know, He's still real. And even if you don't believe in Him. And the words in the covenant relationship that we have with the Lord, they are true even if you don't know them yet, even if you don't really believe them yet. Well, this is good. Now, give me 10 minutes, and we're going to be all done. By the end of that 10 minutes, you're going to get stirred up to really pray differently and think differently about the words of God. So if God's words are so solid, they will not pass away, and even if we have unbelief, it won't change His words, what should we do? Well, here's what I've seen. I love this. When Isaiah said in 55:11, my word's going to go forth and it is going to produce, it's going to produce or prosper in the thing which I've commanded it to do. All of that, I have seen in Christianity and in my own walk and in many people's lives, both the positive and the negative affirmation of God's word. Here's what that looks like. In the positive affirmation, they can find a promise in Scripture, like say, God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Okay, anybody hear that phrase before in church? Preach back to me. Say, yeah, I heard it, Pastor. Amen. Do you believe that, though? Not as many people as people are like, well, last week I kind of believed it. This week I got a message and I don't believe it, you know? Okay, see, here's the truth. If God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, that's the truth, here's the positive affirmation of it. You hold on to that truth, and in your prayers, you are stating that. And in your conversation, that's your baseline. You come back to it. So if you're married, you're talking to your spouse, and maybe you have some financial difficulties, you talk to each other, but you know what? God's going to supply what's needed. And then the minute something comes up, like a job opportunity or a random some hustle on the side that you get to make, then you go, look at it. Isn't that neat? God gave us this opportunity, and you give Him all the credit for the things that are happening. Why? Because He is the Lord over all. That's what the Bible says. So it's fair to then tie all this together in a positive affirmation and say, man, Lord, You really are going to supply all my needs according to Your riches and glory. Now, don't stop there. That's a positive affirmation in that one covenant relationship. Work it through all the things He says that are His words and His partnership with you. And it all depends on Him, not on you. And then you just make that as a positive affirmation. Now, people will look at that and they will misinterpret that. Well, you're just ignoring reality. Or you're just ignorant because you don't look at the way things really are. Well, you can come back and say, I'm not ignoring reality. But like the story of Abraham in Scripture, he's old. The Bible said he was old, right? And the Bible said, even though he was old and his wife's womb was dried up like a crusty old raisin. Okay, maybe it wasn't like that in Scripture, but it said that she was old and her womb was dry. You know, so, okay. People are like, wow, you went there on Mother's Day. Well, I don't know. I'm weird. And he knew this, but the angel of the Lord said, you're going to have a child, and here's what you're going to name him. You know, and she laughed, Sarah laughed. Here's the reality. He had the opportunity to positively affirm God's word or negatively affirm it. Positive is what he chose. He chose to say, I refuse to look at my age and her barrenness. I'm going to listen to your words. That's a choice. So you can talk in your life positive about the promises of God, or you can focus on the negative. And my dad used to tell me this. This, again, I keep quoting my parents. I'm sorry. My dad would say this. He goes, hey, you want to talk about Bible? And I said, sure. And he would say, wait, what's going on? And I said, oh. And he goes, wait, before you tell me what's going on, are we going to talk about the barrenness of Sarah's womb, or are we going to talk about the promise? And I would say, we're going to talk about the promise. And I challenge you to do the same thing. If you're a mom, I want you to talk with your kids, not about the barrenness of things in life. I want you to talk about the promise. This is important. And then when you're like talking with your husband or with your friends, stop talking about the barrenness of life and the situation. Start talking about the promise. You spend enough time thinking about all the boo, you know, shift and start thinking about the promise, and it is powerful. Now, here's the negative affirmation. I don't mean you talk about the negative. What I'm wanting to focus on is this. You affirm the truth through the consequences of your unbelief. You affirm the truth through the consequences of your unbelief. So when the scripture says, when you store up the words of God in your heart so you might not sin against me, that's algebra, okay? Word of God, hide in the heart, not sin against me. Okay, I get this. In the New Testament, it's kind of like this. Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the things of the flesh, right? Both of these are scripture stuff. Here's how we negatively affirm the Word of God. It's like going to Galatians. What you sow, you reap. And so, you don't study the Word. You don't know what God commands. You don't know what to avoid or to put your energies to. And then, because you have a lack of knowledge, you don't see what God wants you to see, you keep making mistakes. You partner in business with an unequally yoked person who doesn't even love the God you love. And then you have problems in business. They cheat you. There's something that falls apart. Well, what did you just do? You just affirmed the promises of God, the words of God, because of your unbelief and that kind of resisting what He's commanded you to do. So in your misery, you're going, I hate this, He cheated me. You could say that, or you could acknowledge, you know what, God? That man cheated and lied, and you know what? He just proved what you said is true. Not to be unequally yoked. And you know what? I ignored your word, and I'm paying the consequence right now for it. And I'm just telling you right now in praise and in worship, God, your word is true. Let every man be a liar. I'm telling you right now that I didn't believe your word would be applicable in my life and in this situation. And I'll tell you, that is a painful reality, but stop ignoring the pain. Embrace it in a positive sense. Let it be a negative affirmation of the truth. Is this too complicated? If this is okay, just do this. Yeah. If you got it, just do this. All right, so half of you got it. Okay, we're going to preach number 2 point again. So now we have another, start the clock over, 10 more minutes and we'll be done. No, I'm teasing. So, oh my gosh. Oh, man. Let God be true and every man a liar. There have been times where I've had to, like this inner kind of rebellious nature, and I've wanted to ignore the things that God has said to me and think, your grace is going to be sufficient for that. And He says, yes, my grace is sufficient for you, but there's another word you're ignoring. And I want you to feel the consequences of your unbelief and your rebellion, and then you're going to taste my grace. Now you feel it differently? So this is awesome. All right, well, I'm going to move on because I don't want to beat you up anymore. You know, I mean, that's some pretty tough stuff. Now here's the other thing too. About the words of God being a solid rock, they will come to pass one way or the other. So even if you're living in rebellion, but you haven't felt the consequences yet, don't be a dumb person and think that means you're getting away with it. Okay? Now, I'm sorry if I said dumb. If that offended you, it's okay. I'll use Jesus' word. Don't be a moron. Don't be a moron. That's the word he used. It's moros, where we get the word moron. And he kept saying, why do you do this and act like an empty-headed fool? A moron believing you can do what you're going to do and you're not getting the consequences yet. He's telling us that my word will come to pass. Beware, my word will come to pass. So I'm to yield, go to it. And so because there's this lagging fulfillment of God's word, sometimes we miss the joy of holding on to this covenant relationship. And this is where it informs our prayers. Your prayers is a great arena where you can take what hasn't happened yet and bring it into now in prayer. Because in prayer, your heart will identify with what hasn't happened yet. So in prayer, you say things that haven't happened as if they're already happening. Now, some of you are saying, oh, now you're preaching, Pastor. Now you're in my neighborhood and this is good. So do that in all these respects. And it'll affirm in your heart that God's word is not being forgotten. It is just delaying in its fulfillment. And this will teach you how to persevere in prayer. It'll teach you a perseverance in your covenant relationship with the Lord. You'll tarry for those things that you know are true in God's word, and you won't give up until they come and pass. So healings, God's provision, His direction, His cleansing power, His deliverance from the power of the enemy. Come on, you've got to see these things as so. Some of us in this room have believed that the devil is so powerful that you have to have some key phrase or some tidbit of information to overcome him. Let me tell you the truth. He's already defeated. He's already defeated. Stop believing the lie that he has power. The only power the devil has in your life is the power you give him. So you've got to stop giving him the power. And you've got to yield to a different power. You are a slave to what you willingly obey to or submit to. So stop submitting to the enemy in your life and begin to submit to the Lord. And then in prayer, you have to hold on to these things. No, I'm going to be free in Jesus' name for this. I'm going to see this happen in Jesus' name. And you're doing this under the banner of a covenant relationship with God. Man. I want you to know that the words of God are so powerful. Hear what he says. I love this. Psalms tells us, Psalms 138:2 is a beautiful way that it says it, that he exalts his words even above his name. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. It's nothing but the name of Jesus. And I agree. But when you read this scripture out of Psalms 138:2, he exalts his words even above his name. This Hebrew is basically saying his covenant truth, his promises. And what he's doing in this is he's proclaiming that, yes, my name, Yahweh, is important, but let me inform what this name represents. Above what you say Yahweh means, here's what I want to promote. My gracious love, my compassion, my slow to anger, abounding in love and mercy, all these things. He's saying all of my promises I'm going to put at the forefront and say, this is who I am. If you want to know who Jesus is, you know him through covenant. The greatest revelation of Jesus in your life is when you're in covenant relationship with him. It's not a name. It's a relationship. Have you heard that before? What that means is you relate with him through these promises and you do warfare, holding on to him, you resist him, all these kinds of things. And in the good times and in the bad times, when God comes through and you see the promise fulfilled, you go, look at him. That's who Jesus is. He fulfilled his promise. And when you screw up and your life falls apart because you are a rebel and a sinner and you don't like to learn the easy way, you want to learn the hard way, you can still stand up and say, God's word is true. I was a liar. I fell apart. I messed up. But God's word is true. And you are affirming him in both ways. I love this. This is tough Christianity right here when I'm preaching. But I tell you, it strengthens you. Especially in the season we live. All right, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to have Amy come up and we're going to take communion together. And I'm going to close with this. John 15:7 says something that is very powerful. If God exalts his word above his name, I want you to think of all those ways in which God says, this is who I am. I'm not going to be quick to just smash you. I'm going to be slow to anger and abounding in love. Why? That's what His promises. That's how He's relating to us. And then more and more, He begins to say things about what He's going to do in your life. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll always supply what you need. I'm going to give you strength even though you're weak. And all, He just goes on and on. John 15, 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I want you to think about that. He's not talking about if you are perfect in all your ways and you never mess up. That's not what He's saying. He's talking about if you obediently walk in a relationship with all my covenant truth, if you are obedient and walking in a relationship with all the things I reveal about me, if you meditate on what that means, doubt and unbelief begin to leave the room because you know God is a covenant-keeping God, and when you ask, you will have whatever you ask for. I don't care if it's a bad day and you had a bad time, He's still a covenant God. So you can ask on that day. Gone is that weird penance kind of thing. I'm going to do good today, and then at the end of the day, I'm going to have extra credit with the Lord. Now, who taught us to think like that? God wants to teach us a new way of thinking, covenant thinking. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to, if you are a person who likes to take communion with us here, we try to take communion every second Sunday of the month. We really are inconsistent in that. We do it on the third sometimes, on the first, and sometimes we do it two or three times in a month. So I'm going to dismiss you to go to either side, my left or my right, and you can take the elements of communion, and we're going to pray and affirm this covenant relationship with the Lord again. And as you're coming and getting that, I want you to hear this all over again. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Thank you, sir. And it will be given to you. Whoo! It'll be done for you. Anybody need a, I need a done for me. Lord, I need something done for me. And so if today you're asking for the first time for forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that you're born again and saved, well then, that's your done. That's the done that you're asking for. Lord, I heard the words of your gospel message that if anybody calls on your name, they will be saved. If I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Jesus, the Lord of creation, and you died on the cross for my sins, buried and then raised to life again, if I believe that and follow you as my Lord and look at your words and follow those words, I know I'm in a relationship with you. I'm saved. I'm born again. You hear that gospel message, you confess it with your mouth, you follow Him. You are brand new. Take communion. You're in a relationship. But I believe there are people here this morning that need something else. You need a miracle healing. Or you know somebody that needs a physical healing. Or maybe there's a mental thing that needs to be broken. There's got to be something changed. Well, in that sense, you need to abide in the covenant promises and the words of God, and you know that you can ask. Come on, you got to give yourself permission. Ask. And whatever you're going to ask for, it's going to be done for you. So if you've got your communion element, I want you to hold up this wafer. This is a reminder that you are in a real covenant relationship. This isn't just empty preacher words. This is a contract. Look at this wafer. This represents the actual physical body of Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, that physical body of Jesus was beaten with whips, was punched in the face, beard was pulled out, hair was pulled out. He was mocked and spit upon, and every whip that was laid against His back, opening Him up, was one more testimony that said, iniquities are forgiven, sickness is healed, disease is healed. Your body is transformed. That's how real this was. And so in Jesus' name, we say thank you that your body testifies that this promise is real. So in this room, everywhere from wall to wall, if there's healing that needs to take place in this room, Lord, we command that healing in Jesus' name. If there's iniquity in this room, we command the healing of that bent, that inner bent towards sin and rebellion. We command healing of the heart in Jesus' name. And we take this together. Amen. Man, this juice represents that your past is all gone. Here's how serious the promises are. God said, I will not renege on one of my promises, and to prove it, here's my blood. He sealed this promise with His blood, the blood of covenant. Lord Jesus, because of this blood, we know that our sins are forgiven because of your sacrifice, not ours. Because of this blood, we know that we've been made white as snow and we have free access to come into your throne room and cry out for help in any situation. Lord, I tell you right now, thank you for this blood. Because of this blood, I can ask for whatever I need. And you promise that it will be done. Friend, if you're here this morning and you need a miracle, I want you under just your breath just to pray in Jesus' name. Ask for the Lord, whatever it is that you need right now. And look at this blood, this juice, and let it be a reminder that you're in a covenant relationship with Jesus. So right now, I just ask you, Lord, for miracles, healings. I ask you for provision. I ask you for insight and instruction. Lord, I ask you for fresh strength and power. In your name I pray. Amen. Take the cup. Praise God. Well, we're going to open up altars. If you want prayer for anything, please come on down. If not, this is Mother's Day. If you haven't hugged and kissed your mom, you better. If you haven't given her a card or said something special, boy, you better. And if your mom's not here, go steal a mom. Go find some mom and tell them Happy Mother's Day. God's blessings on you. Get out of here. We'll see you next week.